my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To the honorees, Pastor Snar and his wife and son. To the fellow clergy, officers and members of Joshua Tabernacle Baptist Church, I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I thank God for a pastor who has assumed the helm of this church and is carrying on as God would direct. Youthful, yet trained in the academics and in the spiritual necessities. Also with a great deal of community, spirit. A desire to make things better for people in general and for USMs as a whole. I thank God also for the longevity that I have seen in Joshua. And I thank God for his presentation of a son to follow in the footsteps of his dad. God is good. And I'm very, very happy to be here on number three. Amen. I like that. My pastor, A.P. Jackson, God rest his soul, preached on what the meaning of three is and seven in the Bible. And he was able to rehearse all those things. I'll get there after a while. So on this third anniversary appreciation day, my wife and I came after attending yesterday. We didn't get a chance to eat with him, but who knows? We were then down to N Street for their Love Day Fest, and we ate and we ate and we ate. And now today, helping to celebrate this Pastoral Appreciation Day, along with his beautiful wife and his son. You think you're going to preach, boy? He said, no. He already smart. Well, just put it this way. You won't unless God sees fit to call you. Amen. The book of Jeremiah, third chapter, and particularly the 15th verse. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. For the next few minutes, I want to talk from the subject pastors. The pastor, shepherd, prophet is a man with the largest of all responsibilities known to mankind if you are a follower of Christ. And you may question that statement with all honesty if you are not aware of what a pastor is and what he is all about. He is responsible for ministering to the souls of the people of God. Now, I don't know what your thinking is, but that is a huge responsibility. All of us agree that doctors are an important part of the human community. Yet when a doctor operates on a patient, may for some cause lose his patient, the result of which is a dead body and a family of which will mourn and grieve to the point of anger with the doctor and even angry with God. The significance of the statement I make about the importance of doctors is that he loses a patient. Either by mistake or by the unsuccessfulness of his surgical skills. Lawyers who represent clients with diligence, with all they can muster, their knowledge and their study habits. But when he or she, the patient or the client, is found guilty and sentenced to a prison term, there is a loss of personal freedom. Yeah. Uh-huh. The result is a man or woman going into incarceration for a predictable time with loss of freedom and inability to function on his or her own, in their own time or in their own order of life. So lawyers are important in our communities. Yeah. Because without a lawyer sometime, like the hammer, you don't get the money you deserve. Or you don't get to stay out of jail. But when lawyers lose a case, the person that they represent still has life unless it's a death sentence, and he has lost a client's case. Scientists, who are the most skilled in analyzing the elements and putting them together to formulate prescriptions that will give ease to a problem body. But they make their mistake in the pursuit of new drugs and elements or products which were meant to bring comfort and ease of life. When they fail, the people either remain sick or get sick on what they have given them. I know there's some amens there. Elements fail to do the predicted thing, and some products must be recalled for various reasons. So although scientists are responsible for many of the amenities, enjoyable amenities of life, they are flawed with mistakes, and their mistakes sometimes cause misery in the Christian and common community. Amen. Now those are just three of the important persons in our community who have great responsibility to us. But when they have finished their job, the result is either a body incarcerated, a body dead, or a sick body and mind. But the preacher of God has a precious agenda to follow and to maintain. In John 21, 15 through 17, he must maintain a feeding program. Amen. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, talking to Simon. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter got a little miffed, grieved, because he asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. So Pastor Norton has a responsibility for a feeding program for the sheep. There is another remarkable change of terms in this place. In John 21, 15, our Lord uses another term to feed. And in John 21, 16, he uses the word which signifies to tend the flock. Not only to feed, but that word tend translates into several meanings. Take care of the flock. Guide the flock. Govern the flock. And defend the flock. Amen, y'all. Take care of them, Pastor, even when they don't want you to take care of them. Guide them when they don't feel they need your guidance. Govern them when they have decided they will do self-government. And defend them when they appear defenseless. Lord, have mercy. He's already taken on more importance than you thought now. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. By which he seems to intimate that it's not sufficient merely to offer the bread of life to the congregation. That's a huge responsibility. Preach the word is on the agenda for all preachers of the gospel. But when you wear the nomenclature of pastor, the mood changes. But he must take care that the sheep be properly collected. And he's always concerned about you all coming to church, to the church house, because you are the church. And wherever you go, you represent Christ. If you've been born again, if it's in Joel's, you are the church. If it's at the track, you If you buying the lottery ticket in line, you the church. So pastor wants to have you collected together as a representative body of Christ in one place to receive both the preach word and the feeding or tending that is necessary. Properly connected. Properly collected. Attended to, regulated, and guided is all under his responsibility. And it appears that Peter perfectly comprehended our Lord's meaning and saw that it was a direction given not only to him, but to the rest of the disciples. Not only those disciples, but to all of their successions in the Christian ministry, which includes our day, our age, and our generation. In John, 1 John 5:2, it says again, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, acting as superintendents and guardians. So pastor ain't being nosy. He's just checking on you. Emmanuel, I know you would far rather meet him in the study with your spouse than after the courts are finished with you. Amen. But he wants the pastor to do all that I've mentioned, not by constraint, not cause he feels obligated and of a necessity, I got to do this, but willingly, without any strings attached, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind to be properly qualified for this, his wisdom and his deportment as a minister should always exceed those of his flock. Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Well, I done flunked out. It's a great hope and a great desire, but sometimes we see ourselves as the earthen vessels in which earthly treasures are placed. We feel our humanity more than our divinity. Sometimes we recognize our frailty and our weakness as we attend to the flock of God. Lord have mercy. And he also must be qualified through much study and prayer. Pastor, I don't need to advise you. You know what I'm talking about. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Little study, little knowledge. Much study, much knowledge. Because in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or imparting the word of truth. You can't lead where you don't go. Amen. And all that I've mentioned for him is for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You got to keep one step above and around all of those that are the flock of God. Now, I'm going to change gears just for a moment. For his work, for the pastor's work, he also needs care. Well, you done quit preaching and gone to meddling. No, I haven't. 1 Corinthians 9:9-13. A pastor needs to be given what is needed to sustain the life of him and his family without strain.
Yes. Amen.
Shall I read that again? Or do y'all want to turn the off button? A pastor needs to be given what is needed to sustain the life of him and his family without straining and struggling, trying to make ends meet. When I came here some years ago, Kentucky had a reputation. I didn't make it. I came here hearing it. They said, well, Reverend, welcome to Kentucky. They have a motto, Lord, you keep the pastor humble and we will keep him poor. Now, I didn't say that. I came to Kentucky and that's what y'all told me. I don't believe that's true now. But in some people's mind, pastors don't need a salary. Mm-hmm. Well, listen what it says in the 9th verse. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. In other words, this ox is grinding all day with one round in a circle, and you put a muzzle on him so he don't get a taste of the grain. What else, Cochran? 13th verse, do you not know those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Now that's the 14th verse. Read it for yourself. For the preacher, if I preach not the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For of necessity, it is laid upon me, yes, woe is me, if I do not preach the gospel. He's going to do it, paid or not, because it's his calling. But to succeed and proceed, God leads him. I'm a personal witness. When you reach your wit's end, as a pastor, God, who's always there anyway, takes the lead. And God leads you, preachers, ministers, Christians, through the storms of life. Personal storms or other storms. God leads the preacher, pastor, through the rain that's wetting everything in sight. Leads him through sickness of body, mind, and soul. Through the pain that often comes with the pastoral ministry. And through the laborious task of preaching God's word. God leads the preacher pastor through disappointment when people that he's trying to help will go in the opposite direction sometime to what is being required of the word of God. Sometime he leads the pastor preacher through loneliness. And my pastor, late pastor, said it's possible to be in a crowd of thousands of people and be lonely. But remember, whether you by yourself or in a thousand or a million, you may be lonely, but you are not alone. This is because Jesus has been there and already done that. He hasn't always been tempted, even as all of us are tempted, yet without sin. And Jesus knows how much we can bear. Yeah, do I have any witnesses? Yes, do you know he's a heart fixer? Yeah, yeah. A mind regulator? Yeah. A friend? Yeah. A doctor? Yeah. A lawyer? Yeah. He's past all of our understanding. For he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So Pastor Snodden, preach on. Teach on. Preach on. Teach on. Teach. Pray. Teach. Pray. For God is faithful to his word. He will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. Even when we're weak, he is strong. He's bread in a starving land, water in dry places, doctor in a sick room. He's a healer, burden bearer. Even when we are weak, he is strong. Why is he so strong? Because he's Jesus. Emmanuel. He's Jehovah. Yahweh. Elohim. El Shaddai. Adonai. Because he's God. And the Son. And he's the Holy Paraclete. He's the Holy Ghost. Three in one. He's all you need. Yes, he is. One day, they took him, my shepherd, my God, and laid him down on an old rugged cross. Nailed his precious hands, spiked his precious feet, raised him from a dead level to a living perpendicular, crowned him with a crown of 72 thorns, and then speared him in his side. But he never said a mumbling word. And the old preacher said, and Jesus stopped dying long enough to save the thief on the cross. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. And then they left him there. In the sixth to the ninth hour, it got dark and it looked like the sun wasn't shining no more. And the cocks crew because they thought it was nighttime. And then they took him down from the old rugged cross and laid him in that John of Arimathea's borrowed tomb. And I'm glad he just borrowed it. And anything you borrow, you intend to give back. And all night, Friday night, he laid there, all wrapped up like a mummy. All day Saturday, he laid there. And Saturday evening, he went to hell and preached deliverance to the captive and got back early in the morning, slipped back into the, all of his bandages, and then up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over soul. He got up early on Sunday morning with all power, so the master pastor gives you the example. of how to be a true shepherd or pastor of the sheep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord today. We have surely been informed, preached to, and we understand what great responsibility that a pastor has. And the pastor can't pull off any of this without the power of Jesus Christ. And you know, the word tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart in that Jesus was raised from the dead, that we shall be saved. And I tell you, in this time, we're going to offer the invitation, the same one that was offered over 2,000 years ago, that anyone...